look at Psalm 107:43. And then we're going to back up and we're going to go through this psalm. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things. What things? The things we just talked about. How the darkest gloom was delivered. How those who wandered were delivered. How those who were in the sea and ships were delivered. And how those who were fools because of their rebellious ways were delivered. So whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Father, your love is great. We really, you know, we probably in our fallen state, Lord, couldn't really handle it if we knew and we could sense and feel and just apprehend the great love that you have for us. But we pray you'll help us to understand more and more as we go on in this psalm what that great love is like and how all the circumstances of our life, whether they're positive or negative, don't negate that love. Your love is steady and unchanging, as the song says. Magnificent. It is the great motivator of our lives. And we pray, Lord God, you'd show us that this morning. And help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Author, pastor, and motivational speaker John Maxwell. How many of you ever heard of him? John Maxwell? Yeah, a few of you. He said this, reflection is what turns experience into insight. Reflection is what turns experience into insight. I like that. I know for myself, I've had experiences that I really, really wished I'd have reflected on a little bit more so I wouldn't repeat them. Amen? The start of a new year is a good time to reflect. I hope that you can spend some time in the coming days before the 2020 gets going full force. And spend some time thinking about your life. Think about the past 12 months. Think about what the Lord has done. If you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, think about your life anyway. Think about what has happened to you. Think about what you have done. Think about the things we're going to talk about this morning. Realize the great love of the Lord for you. And then come to Him. Because He's waiting. There's a kind of reflection that's good, and then the kind of reflection we call brooding, which is not good. We don't want to do that. We want to reflect, okay? Because dwelling on past successes can lead to pride, but dwelling on past failures can lead to discouragement. And while there's a place for reflection in their proper context, there's a better point that we can focus on this morning, and we're going to cover that in Psalm 107. And the end of it is basically this. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. What have you been through this year? I know we all have a story, and I'm sure it would be quite interesting if you knew how to put it into words. But through it all, if you're God's child, you have experienced the great love of the Lord this past year, haven't you? And it's time to think about that. So we're going to look at this psalm. Verses 1 through 3, give thanks to the Lord. Verses 4 to 9, we'll look at those who wandered in desert wastelands. Verses 10 to 16, those that sit in darkness and gloom. 17 to 22, those who suffer affliction because of their sins. 23 to 32, those who go out in ships. 33 to 42, the punishments and rewards and the things that are good, God can turn to evil for those who are wicked. The things that are wicked, God can turn to good for those who are in His kingdom. And then verse 43, the focus, the way to wisdom. The right focus is not dwelling on the past. The right focus is dwelling on the goodness of the Lord God, being thankful to Him, and consider the great love of the Lord. So it says in verse 1 through 3, let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Say what? That He is good, and His love endures forever. Did you know that only the redeemed can say that? Only the redeemed can say that. The ungodly don't even believe in Him. As a matter of fact, it says in Proverbs 15:31, I think, that because of a man's foolishness, his ways and his life is ruined, but his heart rages against the Lord. Go figure that one. But that's what he does. So the redeemed can say this, the Lord God is good and his love endures forever. God is in the redeeming business. He's gathering people from the east, the west, the north, and the south. He's gathering people from all over the world, every language, every nation. All the nations belong to our God. Not just Israel, not just the church. His church belongs to him. Obviously, we've been redeemed. But all the nations, and all the nations are going to worship him someday. So some wandered in deserts, it says in verse 4 through 9. The definition of wander could mean to vacillate, to go astray, to be out of the way. They couldn't find a place to settle. I love to travel, and I would love to take a limited time, set it a 6 months or a year, get myself a nice RV, and travel the country. Now some of you go, why in the world would you want to do that? Well, I would, and my wife would too. But if that was the way I lived, I don't think I would like it. I want a place to settle when it's all said and done. These people didn't have that. How about you? Are you wandering through life? Do you kind of not, you know, you kind of do whatever your Rice Krispies tell you to do, you know? Snap, crackle, and pop. Or do you have a purpose? Do you have a plan? Do you have a sense of God's guidance in your life? That he is moving you in the direction that he wants you to go. God has a simple prayer for you if you're not his child. I can tell it to you in one sentence. You want to know what it is? Okay, some of you do. Some of you, okay. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you've never prayed that prayer in some form or another, pray it today and mean it. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's a good prayer. As a matter of fact, Jesus talked about a man who prayed that prayer. And then another man right across the temple way who said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like other men. Don't pray that prayer. Pray the other one. And so, what do you do? After you've considered the fact that you're wandering in a trackless waste, your life is ebbing away. Now, these people hadn't done any sin, at least it doesn't say here in this passage. But their lives are ebbing away. And it says they were in trouble. So they cried out to the Lord, and he delivered them from their distress. What do they do? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his wonderful deeds for men. That's God's heart for you. If you don't know Jesus, that's his heart for you. If you do know Jesus, that's certainly his heart for you. Because he died to save you, he did save you, and now you belong to him. And then the next section, there's five sections here. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. Why? Because they had rebelled against the Lord God and despised the counsel of the Most High. That's not good. But folks, if you've done that, and I'll tell you right now, I have. I'm not proud of it, but I have. I asked the Lord for direction one time. He told me what to do, and I went and did what I wanted to do anyway. Go figure. So did I despise it? Did I go like this, Lord? No, I just ignored it. I despised it. I didn't do what he wanted to. There is hope for you, though, because look at what these people did. He subjected them to bitter labor. He humbled them, and there was no one to help. But look, lo and behold, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and deepest gloom. He broke away their chains. God did that. It doesn't say they broke their chains away themselves. It doesn't say they wandered out of the darkness and deepest gloom. It doesn't say they groped along the wall till they found their way out. No, it says the Lord did that for them. Are you in the darkest, deepest gloom this morning? Now, some of this stuff is talking about Israel. Okay, most of it is talking about Israel. But you can make a spiritual application here too, and I don't think it's too far of a stretch. Are you in the darkest, deepest gloom this morning? Nobody may know it but you. Because we're pretty good at, you know, putting on the face. We're pretty good at that. I'm good at that. Although people tell me nowadays that I wear my feelings on my sleeve. So I guess I'm not as good at it as I thought I was. Maybe you're not either. And that's okay. But are you in deepest, darkest gloom? This was the result of their rebellion. But there's good news. They turned to the Lord and he heard them. And he delivered them from all of their distress. They were held in iron chains, but God delivered them. Now, iron chains here is talking about physical chains, because Israel, when they sinned against God and rebelled against him, he put them in bitter labor to some of their enemies who lived around them. But friends, Jesus said in John 8:34, that whoever sins is a slave to sin. You know what that means? That means whatever sin that you are committing on a regular basis, not just kind of stumbling and falling unintentionally, but whatever sin you have committed yourself to, you become a slave to that sin. You can pick your sin. It doesn't matter. Lying, alcohol, drugs, illicit sex, stealing. It doesn't really matter. You become a slave to that thing. And what happens? You can't get out. We talk a lot about addictions and everything nowadays and how they're diseases. No, they're not. I'm sorry. They're not diseases. They're choices that got the better of them, and now that choice has been set into them. But the good news is there's a way out. They cried unto the Lord, and he heard them and delivered them from all their distresses. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish. Not the drunk, not the adulterer, not the arrogant person. Nobody. He doesn't want anybody to perish. Some people shake their fists in God's face. He doesn't want them to perish either. God broke their chains. Christ is the one who can break your chains this morning. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We just celebrated the fact that he came as a baby. Emmanuel, God with us. He can break your chains. Why? Because he rose from the dead. He's alive. Today, now. His Holy Spirit is here. Now. And he can set you free. Psalm 107:43 says, heed and consider. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Heed these things. That means listen. Pay attention. God's dealing with you according to his love. His love. It's because his love is calling you to repentance. His kindness, it says in Romans 2. And then there's those who suffered affliction because of their rebellious ways. They became fools. They loathed all food. They drew near the gates of death. Affliction here means disease, plague, stuff like that. Not everybody who is sick is a fool. Okay, let me just say that. You know that, but there are some people who will look at you and say, you're sick, what have you done wrong? I've had people do that. So I'm just saying, just because you're suffering from a sickness, especially if it's one that goes on and on, a chronic sickness, whether it's mental health or whether it's physical, it doesn't mean that God is punishing you. Okay, you got to know that. But sometimes we do things and we end up in physical sickness. But God can deliver us from that too, because it says, He sent forth, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent forth His word, and He healed them. Praise God. He healed them. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. And then He says, let them sacrifice thank offerings. That's another indication that this psalm was written to Israel, because in Leviticus it says, when God does something for you, really offer a thank offering to Him. Now, we don't have to go offer our sheep and goats and everything, but we can offer this kind of thanksgiving and tell of His works with songs of joy. Some of you have done that already. I guess later on there's going to be a testimony time. When you get a chance to give a testimony, give one. Stand right up and say, God has been so good to me because He's done this. It's a beautiful thing that He gives us a chance to do. And then some people didn't necessarily do anything wrong. They went forth in ships. And they're on the high seas. And they experience the storms of life. The storms of life happen to believers, and they happen to unbelievers. Just because you're in a storm doesn't mean that God has forsaken you or forgotten you. And if you're a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, just because you're in a storm doesn't mean that God is punishing you. As a matter of fact, He probably isn't. It could be the result of your own sin. I mean, a person who is promiscuous and gets an STD, God didn't punish them with that. That was the result of their own sin. If I get smashed, I don't mean the Shakespeare group, but if I get smashed and go get in an accident and lose my leg, God didn't punish me. That was my own fault. But sometimes the things that happen to us in life, we need to pay attention to. So these people, they hadn't done anything wrong. They were just out living their life, and the storms of life happened. And what did they do? They did the same thing as everybody else did. They called unto the Lord, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm. Did you know that God can still your storm? He can do that. He doesn't always. Sometimes He brings you through it. He brought these people through it. But He also stilled the storm. Sometimes Jesus walks to us on the water in the storms. And then other times He comes into our boat, so to speak, and immediately we're on dry land. But He does it. Let him give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love. We give thanks with a grateful heart. These people had no control over their circumstances, but God had control. And then the verses 33 to 42, it's just talking about different things that God can do. For the rebellious, He can turn the springs into dry land and desert waste. For the righteous, He can turn the desert waste into springs of water. He's got that power because everything is in His control. Steve Brown says, if something is happening to you, it's God's fault. That's kind of a rough way to say it, but and some people who get angry at God for things that have happened, it's because they don't understand God, but in a way, God could have prevented it. If He couldn't, He's not God. Right? If something happens out of God's control, He said, boy, I wish that hadn't happened. Man, He's not God. But in His wisdom, He allows things in our lives. But He can work all of that to our good. So what's the way to wisdom? Let's look at Psalm 107:43 again. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Reflect. Heed. Can you think back on a time when you learned a lesson? I mean, you really learned it. And like my son, Jeremy, We watched him one day in the winter. We had built a little skating rink for the kids outside, and we had set chairs, plastic chairs. That's not what they call them. But anyway, around the thing so we could go out and sit and watch them skate. And he took a baseball bat and thought in his poor little five-year-old brain, I wonder what would happen if I banged this on this chair in 30-degree weather. Well, he found out. We said, Jeremy. He said, I just wanted to know what happened. He said, did you find out? Yes. He said, well, don't do it again. Okay. He never did. He learned a lesson. Have you ever had that happen to you? You learned a lesson. I mean, sometimes you go through the same thing over and over again, which is the definition of insanity, right? Do the same thing over and expect different results. But this time you did it and you listened and you did the right thing. Okay, that's being wise. That's being wise. And then you consider the great love of the Lord. God's love for you brought you to where you are. He helps you turn your reflection of your experience into insight. Proverbs 15:31 in the NIV says this: he who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. In other words, when somebody gives you a piece of advice or says, you know, I noticed this about you, and we listen, we take it in, and we change, that's abiding among the wise. You'll be at home among the wise. But then the King James says this, which is a little bit different, but I think it's true nonetheless. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. I think what that is saying is, look, circumstances happen in your life. God is in control of all of them, even the unbeliever. Even the unbeliever. Even if you're here and you don't have Christ, you're either in Christ or out. If you don't have Christ, God is in control of all your circumstances. But you got to remember, he's loving and he is good. Don't let anybody tell you any different. That's the first step down. And so, if you listen to the reproofs of your life, what happens? What happened to you? You will abide among the wise. Hebrews 12:5-6 tells us that we as God's children, are disciplined by him because he loves us. How many of you have children? Okay. Do you spank them when they lie to you because you don't like them? No, why do you do it? To teach them a lesson. Because you don't like them, right? No, because you love them. Right? God does the same thing with us. Because he loves us. I've been to that woodshed. I know the inside of it pretty well. Unfortunately. I'm not proud of that. I'm just stating the fact. And so have you. The question is, did we come out wiser or just sorer? Did we come out wiser or sorer? If you're not God's child this morning, don't waste the experiences that God has allowed in your life to bring you to himself. What are those experiences? I don't know. But God knows, and he's letting you know. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die on a cruel cross so that you could be saved and spend eternity with him. And then, after he did all that, he made salvation a free gift. Free. It doesn't cost you a thing to say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. I receive that. It's free. Will you do that this morning if you never have? Will you accept his free salvation? Just say yes. Lord, yes. Somebody explained it to me one time because of all that I was going through. And he said, Michael, lay down your sword. Lay down your sword. You're so angry. You've got a sword in your hand. It's not God's fault. Lay down your sword. Go to him. Ask him to forgive you. Receive you, and he will. Stop fighting. Isn't it time to stop fighting? It's time. Listen to him. If you're a Christian this morning, then spend some time between now and January 1st. You have a couple of days. Okay? And do this. Reflect. I don't mean while you're... No, if you're driving along the road, it's okay to reflect some, but you got to pay attention, right? I suggest that you get alone somewhere where there's not going to be any distractions. Leave your phone in another room and turn it off so you don't hear it. Right? I see some of you know. And then reflect. Sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and say, God, help me to think through some of the things that have happened in my life. It takes time to do this. It takes quiet time. And it takes determination. It may not come easy. You may sit there for 10 minutes and go, you know, like Schultz on Hogan's Heroes. I don't know, man, you know. But eventually, you will start to reflect, and God will bring things to your mind. Over the past year, ask him to show you what he's up to in your life. And he will. He will. He doesn't play games. He says this, that's what he'll do. He says he won't do this, that's what he won't do. Sometimes we can get mixed messages from men, but we never get them from God. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. We thank you for your amazing love. Lord, we thank you for your amazing love. Help us to get it. If someone is here without Christ, Father, I pray that today will be the day they find you, they receive you, they lay down the sword. And Lord, for those of us who know you, sometimes we can find a sword in our hands too. Help us to lay it down, to surrender completely to you, and then do it again tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, till we can't even find that sword. We don't know where we put it. That would be a good thing. Pray that you would just help us to receive your word this morning, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.